This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. We have a jam-packed hour for you today. You'll get a tour of a new makerspace for ocean robotics, learn just how much damage bottom trawls do or don't do when they're catching the fish we eat, hear why some say President Trump's nominee for chief scientist at the USDA may not be legal, and finally, check in with an artist whose paintings based on solo canoe voyages in the Arctic are on display on Martha's Vineyard. First, though, an update on a story we've been following. It's the plight of North American right whales in Canadian waters. A perfect storm of shipping traffic and a snow crab fishery in the Gulf of St. Lawrence is thought to be responsible for a whopping 8 deaths in recent weeks. That's up 1 since this time last week. And adding in the individual who died of a ship strike in Cape Cod Bay earlier this year, it puts the total number of fatalities this year at nearly 2% of the population. The snow crab fishery is now shut down, but we're continuing to follow this story, and you can find updates on our website, capeandislands.org. In other ocean news, Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution has just launched what may be the first oceanographic makerspace ever. Makerspaces, of course, have popped up all over the world. They're typically outfitted with tools and materials that allow people to make their prototype dreams into realities quickly and cheaply. The Oceanographic is calling theirs Dunkworks. It's a play on Lockheed Martin's legendary Skunk Works lab. It's stocked with 3D printers and other machines that you might expect for rapid prototyping of underwater robotics, and it was built using $784,000 of a larger $5 million grant from the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative. The Oceanographic is also contributing significant funds to the project. At first, only companies that already have a relationship with the institution will be able to get a membership, but organizers hope to expand that to include new companies in the near future. Living Lab Radio's producer Elsa Partan recently took a tour with Leslie Ann McGee of the Center for Marine Robotics at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, and she brings us along.
Oh, well, first of all, welcome to Dunkworks. This is our brand new rapid prototyping and additive manufacturing facility, which we have lovingly given the name Dunkworks, which is a play on the concept of Skunk Works, which is a Lockheed Martin program that was run years and years ago. And the concept is it's an innovation center. Here at Woods Hole, we send things out to sea, which is a very risky, very expensive endeavor. And we want to make sure that we make the best innovations we can and be able to test them and iterate on them before they end out at sea.
And we are surrounded by machines.
We are. Some bigger and more expensive and some more simple. We are sort of moving into the area of additive manufacturing, which is a fancy word for 3D printing. And that comes in many different forms. The machine that we're looking at right now is a very simple Formlabs machine. It's actually a resin printer. And you can see it and you can hear it if you want to move over here, but you can hear it going back and forth as it moves resin onto the structure it's building and then cures it with UV light. And so what this machine's doing right now is it's building something that we told it to build, but it's also independently building the structure on which it needs to make that. So, for instance, we have a small model of our Sentry vehicle, which is up at our deep submergence lab. And as we told it to print a small version of it, we didn't tell it how to build the supporting structure around it. It figures it out on its own, and you can soak off the structure when you're done.
So it kind of looks like a scaffold that's
exactly
holding up the actual thing.
That's right, and that's what allows us to print in the third dimension. We're used to printing flat, and now we're printing up and out.
And this is kind of a cool thing. It's got a dome over it, and there's a little light dancing around, and that's the laser.
That's correct. That's the UV light. The UV light is curing the resin as it keeps dipping in and washing back and forth and adding more resin. And the way to harden the resin is to apply a UV light.
There it is. And now, is this a terribly expensive thing, or is this somewhere in the middle?
This is about a $4,500 machine, which puts it on the sort of low end of the range. Our 3D printer that we have one of now, which we'll eventually have two, is a whole other order of magnitude in price. So we're trying to outfit the center with everything from basic woodworking tools and crimping machines all the way up to expensive 3D additive manufacturing machines. And the reason is because we want to provide our community with the ability to investigate, to iterate, to come up with ideas and then using different types of benches be able to improve on them before they go out to sea?
So what you on this side of the facility, we mostly have our additive manufacturing pieces, and you're standing in front of our 3D printing machine, and right now you can see that it's in the process of printing something. We've printed a lot of different items in here. We're working on new approaches to the tail end of propellers to make them more efficient. We've been working on ways that our scientists can sample more efficiently with different types of sampling equipment that may not come out right the first time, but with a 3D printer you can iterate on it and send the print shop back again, as opposed to in the old days you'd have to either design it, send it out, wait weeks for it to come back and see if it works, or build it out of titanium, which is sort of heavy and expensive. Now we can print it out of all kinds of different types of materials more quickly. Now I say more quickly, this printer is going on now for, it's on, already been on for 4 hours, and it's going to finish this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So some of these print jobs aren't very short in nature. They take a while because they're pretty complex jobs, but this chamber is pretty large. It can actually hold about a 36 3-foot by 3-foot item, which is great. We have a couple of examples of some of the things that we've printed, so I'll show you an item over here. So we're looking at a 3D printed model of some barnacles, a very large barnacle patch. And were we talking barnacles? We're talking 3-inch by 2-inch barnacles, not the little tiny ones that we see around here. And what we did is we took a sample that we had here, and we used our laser. We have a laser hand laser scanner, so we can hand laser scan the actual specimen. And then the machine, the computer-aided design machines, will actually stitch the images back together.
So in other words, a researcher might actually want a 3D example of the specimen that they found.
That's right. We don't have a lot of specimens of the same thing. We have very few specimens. We, you know, obviously try to not take as many specimens more than we need. But folks in the other types of learning communities, like the blind community, use different ways of learning, and this might actually help them understand their environment a little bit better. So we're working with one of our researchers here, does work with the Perkins School of the Blind. So we're trying to figure out how we can make our facility useful to learning science and engineering. Oh, wait, let me introduce you to DC.
What's your name and what's your job?
So my name is Don Kalatius, and I am the Dunkworks Center guru.
You don't have to just wander in here and know how to use these machines.
No, you have someone like DC here who's the resident expert, and he can help you get oriented to all the machines, as well as he can help you work through the process that you're thinking about with your innovation or your idea. You might walk in with just a problem, and is there anything in here that could help me solve my problem, or this is the way I'm thinking about solving my problem, and then he can actually help you step by step through the process. That's very important. Most, what we call this is a very high-end makerspace, but most makerspaces have trainers or gurus in them so that they can actually help you through the process and, of course, make sure you're safe. And then we can move to the other side of the center. So the idea in our space is that it's open and it's available to you so that it's an innovation center. It's a noodling space. It's a thinking space. It's a place to fail quickly and fail cheaply. As I said, going out in the ocean, you know, vessel costs and all kinds of unexpected aspects of being out at sea can add up very quickly. And so in here, we allow our scientists and engineers and some of our affiliate organizations come in, and they can actually just think and create and use their peer-to-peer community to come up with different ideas and what they could do to solve their problem or iterate on their idea. So in here, we have automatic milling machines. We have lathes. We have chisels and hammers and wood. We have bandsaws. We have crimping machines. We have stripping machines. We have electrical and mechanical workstations. We have circuit board layers. So this is actually a space that's just chock-a-block full of really cool things to work on.
So far, up till August 1st, it's all been within the Oceanographic Institution. What happens when you open it up to outsiders? How can they use the space?
So the space for right now, from about June 1st until July 31st, has been an experimental sort of discovery period for our scientists and engineers. And for us, those people who put together Dunkworks, it's an opportunity for us to have folks kick the tires, so to speak, you know, poke some holes in the boat and make sure it doesn't sink kind of thing. And, you know, we're actively in that process, and we're looking for folks to give us feedback on what they liked, what they didn't like, what they're using, what they'd like to have instead. And that'll inform the way that we then open it up to the larger community. So after, we're working on our business model right now, which is very important because we are a soft money institution and we need to make sure that we can, you know, keep the lights on and pay the bills. The center, though, was built by funds from the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative. That was the capital investment. And then Woods Hole Oceanographic has to figure out a way to actively run this, at least without a loss, let's put it that way. And so when we, after August 1st, our plan is to open it up to the outside community. Most of those folks will be members of our Center for Marine Robotics, and there'll be a billing model that'll be similar to a monthly membership, which is fairly similar to the way most makerspaces operate. So you have a monthly fee, you'll get training, certain number of hours that you can come in here and work, and as you get, you know, into the higher levels of understanding the equipment, your supervisory needs will be less. But we're still experimenting with this. This is a giant social experiment for us here at Woods Hole Oceanographic, and the intent of it is to make rapid advancements in marine robotics technology and everything that goes along with it. It's not just the actual vehicle. It's the sensors. It's the batteries. It's the propulsion systems. It's the power. You know, it's everything. And so we're hoping to welcome a number of folks into the community over the next few years and actually, you know, get a glimpse on the inside and be able to work with some of our folks.
Leslie Ann McGee, thanks for the tour.
You're so welcome. Anytime. Come on back in a few months.
That's Living Lab Radio producer Elsa Partan. Dunk Works at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution is currently open only to people inside the institution. Starting August 1st, though, it will be open on a membership fee basis to a broader community of robotics innovators. Up next, trawls catch a fifth of all the seafood we eat. A new analysis looks at how much damage they do to seafloor ecosystems in the process. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.